Stephanie Seskin. I'm the Deputy Director of the National Complete Streets Coalition, which is a program at Smart Growth America.
And I'm Kim Irwin. I'm the Executive Director of Health by Design. We're based in Indiana.
Kim and I were just wondering if we should lead everyone in a dance, since we have such a intimate group of people here. No takers? Okay. We'll just get on with our presentation then. So I don't have any relationships to disclose.
Nor do I.
So we're here to talk about complete streets. Most of us by now, I think, are familiar with what the concept is. Complete streets means providing for people of all ages and abilities, whether they're traveling by foot or bicycle or transit or driving, because we want to make sure that people have safe, convenient access to their destinations. And complete streets make it easy to cross the street, to get to work, to get to your transit stop. They make it so that buses can run on time and that people can walk to and from transit stations, as well as walking and running their bikes and accessing places via mobility devices. Complete streets is turning streets like this, which are unsafe, into safer streets that are a bit more complete. I'll just editorialize a little bit here that there will never be a street that's finished. The complete aspect of it is always an aspiration. You're never going to get to the final design solution that's going to be perfect forever, because people change, communities change, things happen differently. So complete streets make the healthy choice the easy choice, right? And that's the pitch. That's what we say. But it's actually about a lot more. You can't just be like, well, that's it, we're done. You got a lot of work ahead of you. So complete streets, the very first thing is that it sets a vision for communities to be inclusive, accessible, and sustainable, both economically and environmentally. It's changing the onus of, if you walk, you need to be safe, to we as a society need to make sure that our communities are designed and built to keep people safe. We have to break down this understanding of, like, you're a pedestrian, so you're treated differently than someone who's driving a car, and you're driving a small car, so you're different than someone who's driving a truck. The fact is that we're all people who have jobs and who have things that we want to accomplish, and we have to break down those modal issues into just talking about people and making sure that we're safe. And so that's the first thing with Complete Streets, is setting up this policy, this vision for your community. But of course, culture eats policy for breakfast. You can't just have a policy and say that you're done. You can't change it. You can't say, well, we did it. We passed a policy. There's lots of work that goes into it. And yes, that's hard and it's a grueling process. And you have to go to lots of boring meetings and you have to stand up and say the same things over and over again. But the next day, things aren't necessarily going to change. What we need to do is change our expectations for the streets, which are one of our greatest public assets. We are saying that we expect them to be multimodal, to support local businesses, to provide access to work, school, home, health facilities, and to be safe for everyone. And how we do that is change our everyday culture, how we get around and what we value. So, for example, can we maybe give up some parking spaces immediately in front of a store if we want to provide a better bicycling environment, especially if there's parking available elsewhere? Is it the worst thing if you have to walk an extra block? I would hope that us here in the public health world agree that it's fine to walk an extra block if you're able to. But we also have to address political expectations. Elected officials are a key partner in achieving complete streets and have to believe in the value and the purpose. And it also means changing our practical expectations. We as a nation really can't afford to build our way out of our transportation troubles the way that we have for the last 60 or so years. We have to reevaluate what we have today, what our goals are, and what is actually economically viable and is also equitable. And of course, so complete streets means changing transportation culture. Who makes the decisions, why they make those decisions, what tools they're using, what the basis of those tools even are. So we need to fundamentally alter those systems to guide how we're able to get places. A measurable and sustained change in public policy and health requires thinking beyond individual actions. I think we know this. It's the policy systems environment. That's what I'm walking through right now. The users, those of us who are out there getting to our destinations, and the deciders, those are the planners, the engineers, our city managers, and all of those people who control those decisions, we need to be working together in concert to talk about how to change the system so that we're able to be multimodal. And to do that, we have to reassess our policies, our codes, our plans, our processes, our design guides, our assumptions, who's working for us, who's leading us. And all of that is really the core of the Complete Streets implementation success. It's a lot of stuff, but eventually you'll get there. Because then you get cool stuff like this, which are changes to the environment, which are good and safe multimodal street networks, and a bunch of different types of street designs that we employ that are based on what the community goals are, what is currently happening right now, what we want in the future, and how we are able to incorporate all of the other concerns that we have with demographic change and equity and health. And so we get cool stuff like that. So that was the basics of Complete Streets. Going to quickly talk about the National Complete Streets Coalition. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan alliance of public interest organizations and transportation professionals, and we're committed to the development and implementation of Complete Streets policies and practices. Hopefully that is evident from all of the words on this slide. We engage in a broad partnership, bringing in all these different voices, both formally and informally. So there are a bunch of people that we work with who aren't listed here. And we're trying to engage with different organizations at various levels of government to push the Complete Streets movement ahead. What we do is catalyze and sustain local, regional, and state implementation of Complete Streets policies and practices by working with all of these groups to, one, establish best practices in Complete Streets, two, provide training and direct technical assistance, and three, develop Complete Streets leadership among transportation, planning, health, urban design, elected officials, appointed officials, as many people as we can who can be leaders for Complete Streets. We try to get there. Oh, look at that. I wrote all that stuff down. Moving on.
I'm going to be telling you a little bit about some of the work we've done in Indianapolis specifically and in Indiana. But just by way of background, Health by Design is a coalition that initiated in 2006, so we have been around for a little while, working to ensure that Indianapolis and communities throughout the state of Indiana have transportation options, community design public spaces that promote active living and public health. So we're absolutely about public health at our core, and working, you know, with the direct impacts and the more social determinants around that to ensure, again, physical activity and broader public health benefits. I mentioned Health by Design started in 2006, and we Complete Streets was kind of part of our work from the beginning. We knew what was happening, growing on a national level, and a few years in 2011, actually, after having done quite a bit of Complete Streets work already, which you'll hear more about, we initiated the as a work group the Indiana Complete Streets Coalition. We've had a lot of support from our local health department over the years, which has been tremendous, and more recently from our state health department in terms of funding support. But the idea of promoting Complete Streets and developing policies around the state are evidenced in a couple of our public health plans. So our Indiana Cancer Control Plan, our Nutrition and Physical Activity Plan, and that kind of thing.
So I'm going to quickly run through what a Complete Streets policy contains. So even though the idea of Complete Streets is pretty simple and hopefully inspiring still, we found that there are a lot of things the policy really should include to make sure that you're getting yourself on the best foot as you're starting. So the pre-policy work is setting that vision and making it compelling, something that you agree to as a community, this is what you want to do, and you can bring up over and over again when they're making the wrong decisions to say, hey, actually, we said this is what we want as a community, and going back to this vision and pointing to it and using it. The second part is really the basis of what Complete Streets is. It's making sure that you're including all the different people who are in your community and how they get around. Sometimes I get questions like, are equestrians part of Complete Streets? And I'm like, well, if they're part of your community, then yeah, that's totally what should be in your policy. If you don't have a lot of people riding horses, then maybe not. But at the basics, it's the people who are walking, riding bikes, taking transit, and driving both personal vehicles and commercial vehicles. And you want to make sure that all of those types of people are really fully considered in all of your transportation projects from the very beginning of how do we even choose what project we're going to do, all the way through construction, making sure that there's a safe place for people to walk and bicycle during that period, and all of the phases in between planning and designing and having all of those public input meetings, especially for the large capital projects. And it's also making sure that any exceptions to that policy are pretty clear and require a high-level person to sign off on it. You don't want your just project manager to say, oh, I thought about someone riding a bike and I decided that I don't really care and I'm done. What this helps you do is create transparency and accountability in the policy, which are really important to make sure that it gets implemented, because you need to have the opportunity to say, who approved that? I want to know why. And so you should build that into your policy. The second set of things are really what I talk about as best practices that you should be thinking about at this stage and really implementing further in your implementation efforts. So making sure that the networks are connected and relatively easy to get around. Having one bike lane is great, except that there's no way to get to it, right? So you need to make sure that you have this network, or else you can't see the results of people actually getting out there and riding their bikes. It needs to be something that all these different agencies who are working on your transportation projects understand. So the State Department of Transportation, the county, the regional government association or MPO, as well as the different types of agencies within the city, the utilities, transportation, environment, parks and recreation, all of them should sort of be at the table and understand how this applies to them. And it needs to be all of the roads, not just the ones that your city is working on, but ones that you might be building through new development. You want to make sure that you're using the best and latest design standards that are available. Too often, engineers can just point to, like, oh, this says that we can only do this. And it's because those standards have been updated in 20 years. And that doesn't really reflect where we are as a community of transportation and health. And so you want to make sure that they have that opportunity to use what's the latest practices and that they have flexibility in being able to decide and apply their engineering judgment to solve the transportation problems. Make sure that it fits your community, where you are now, where you want to go. If your vision is for a multimodal community with lots of people who are walking and biking, make sure that your streets are being planned and designed as part of that. And make sure that you set some measures to make sure that you are actually achieving complete streets, both in terms of more people who are out there, but also that the projects are being rolled out the door in a sustainable way and makes sense. And the last thing is making sure that you have next steps. You can write all this stuff down, and it's great and lovely, but then it's like, okay, cool, and we put that away, and then we never look at it again because we're not asked to do anything else and given a time frame for what that looks like. So you have to think about, okay, where else do we need to make changes? Do we need to update our general plan? Do we need to look at our subdivision code? All of that stuff. So make sure that's part of your policy. So far we have over 600 policies nationwide. And most of them are in small suburbs, which I think we classify as 30,000 and under in major metropolitan areas. But a good number are in towns and in rural areas. And, of course, many of our biggest cities have policies as well, including Indianapolis.
So before jumping into the Indianapolis story specifically, just wanted to let you know that we now have 13 complete streets policies throughout Indiana, covering almost half of Hoosiers, many of those within metropolitan planning organizations. They've really been the leaders in our state. I'm pleased to share that in September, our State Department of Transportation executed an internal complete streets policy that will impact some, not all, of the road projects that they do, but we're really excited. That's a result of years of dialogue and some legislative attempts that they had opposed, to be honest. And so this is a
great step forward in that. We're also seeing, as I'm sure many of you are, just a tremendous growth in local funding and the demand or the interest in funding active transportation projects at the local level. I wanted to just make the point that there are lots of other things that, you know, go along with complete streets, things like safe routes to school, walking and biking to school, things like trails and signage promoting those, bike racks. That, you know, complete streets as a policy approach means a very specific thing and allows us to accomplish a very specific thing, but it happens certainly in a broader context. So with the Indianapolis campaign specifically, it was truly years in the making. I hope that's not discouraging to hear, but just does show that it's the result of a lot of hard work. We spent some early time starting in 2009 providing education and training both for ourselves as a coalition and partners, but also for elected officials and the community at large. And we've really relied on the national coalition over the years to help us in doing that. We were cultivating leadership along the way, both our own partner leadership as well as elected leadership, and really in the end found that one of our most important roles was to provide cover for elected officials. They wanted to do this. They were interested in it, but they needed to know that it wasn't going to be sort of perceived broadly as something negative, and so we could help play that role. A key thing, which I think sometimes we overlook, is to make sure we're very clear on the policy adoption process. You know, who gets to say yes ultimately, and what are the steps, committees, hearings, that kind of thing that it goes through. We were very fortunate in Indianapolis that we actually really wrote the ordinance language that ended up making it through the process and being adopted, and that was a result of, again, those years of work that had gone into it, the dialogue, the trust that we had built up, but really was an important piece. And so anytime you can be at the table in terms of actually shaping what that language says, you know, seize that opportunity. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the campaign elements in a moment. But, you know, as then we developed and executed that campaign and were ultimately successful, it was important then that we celebrate, of course, and that we be ready then to move right into implementation. In terms of the advocacy campaign, we used a lot of traditional elements and relied on different partners to do different things, right? Not every, you know, our local government, our local health department wasn't able to do some of the things that, say, AARP, which was a very strong partner for us, was. Some of our folks were registered lobbyists. Others said, you know what, can't do it, can't talk to a counselor, that kind of thing. So we ended up with a sign-on letter that had 59 partners sign on, a petition that was not, you know, didn't get a lot of public sign-on, but it definitely represented our communities, or sort of the active transportation community, with about 1,000 signatures. We ended up with 21 total media hits, 8 of which were op-eds that we coordinated and were able to, you know, have run in a timely way over a period of several months. We gave numerous community presentations, had individual meetings with counselors, certainly gave testimony when the time came, and that kind of thing. One of probably the most important things, I don't know that it was most important in terms of the outcome, but it was a good win when you can make it happen, is that we, through one of our partners that was hosting a mayoral candidate debate, we actually were able to get a question about, do you support complete streets, in that debate ahead of the election. And it gave both... both candidates were supportive, and it sort of gave a commitment that they would be able to help. It was adopted unanimously by our city county council and signed into law, and then ultimately named the top policy in the country.
So we are technically out of time, so I'm just going to run through these quickly. Some of the things that you need to do is carry the message of Complete Streets with you. Be strategic with who you partner with. Think about who has influence and where and when best you should ask them to do different things. And be a resource, not just someone who's angry all the time, but offer solutions and resources that they might not know about. Talk about the different tools that are available. Facilitating inclusive discussions, I think a lot of times decisions are made in a box where you don't necessarily know who's there, and you want to be able to bring in different kinds of voices to talk about the challenges of transportation and some of the solutions that are out there in the community that might not be part of that closed box. And that's it. Thank you.